Good evening and welcome to St. Columba's on this Tuesday in Holy Week for our evening service. All of you are most welcome. It's a great delight to share worship with the Reverend Brick Gilmore and with friends from Knock Methodist Church and from the wider community. All of you are extremely welcome. We are immensely privileged this year to have as our preacher at our evening services His Grace Archbishop Robin Eames. Throughout his series of sermons in this week of all weeks, he is relating and connecting the events of that first Holy Week with the issues all of us experience in our daily lives. How can that first Holy Week offer hope and strength to sustain all of us in our own ministry, in our own circumstance, in our own situation? The theme of his address this evening is, "What do they want?" The service will proceed without announcement, and afterwards you are invited to remain behind for refreshments at the west end of the church. I invite you to stand.
And just as we begin tonight, I'd like to thank the rector for his welcome here at St. Columba's again this year, and on behalf of those of us from Knock Methodist, to thank you and all the people of St. Columba's for your hospitality in these evenings of shared worship, and indeed for our partnership together in worship during this Holy Week. May the grace, healing and forgiveness of the Lord be with you this Holy Week.
And also with you.
O Savior of the world, who by your cross and precious blood has redeemed us, save us and help us, we humbly pray. We gather together this evening to continue our journey with the Lord through this Holy Week of our salvation. The Tuesday in Holy Week is often associated with that scene in the Gospels where a woman anoints Jesus with precious perfume, as though preparing him for his death and burial. This is a reminder to us, in this week of all weeks, that the great love of Jesus, in giving all for us, calls forth our love and devotion and our offering of all that is of value to us, not least our hearts and lives.
Amen.
O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let not the flood overwhelm me, nor the depths swallow me up. Let not the pit shut its mouth upon me. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Hear me, O Lord, as your loving kindness is good. Turn to me as your compassion is great. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. O God, who by the passion of your blessed Son made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life, grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer pain and loss for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Together we join in Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be for me a stronghold to which I may ever resort. Send out to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evildoer and the oppressor.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence even from my youth. Upon you have I leaned from my birth, when you drew me from my mother's womb. My praise shall be always of you.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
I have become a portent to many, but you are my refuge and my strength. Let my mouth be full of your praise and your glory all the day long. Do not cast me away in time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
For my enemies are talking against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together. They say God has forsaken him. Pursue him and take him, because there is none to deliver him.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
O God, be not far from me. Come quickly to help me, O my God. Let those who are against me be put to shame and disgrace. Let those who seek to do me evil be covered with scorn and reproach. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you more and more.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah, chapter 49, beginning at verse 1. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, and in his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honoured in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you.
Our New Testament Gospel reading may be found in Matthew chapter 26, reading from verse 31 to verse 46. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters, because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away for the second time and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. May God add his richest blessing to this reading of his holy word. Amen.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I've often felt that few of the stories of that first Holy Week convey a greater picture of the dilemmas of the Son of Man than the story of Gethsemane. And in my own personal pilgrimage, I've often reflected in quietness on those events. And when we say the question, what do they want? I think that conjures up for us a part, at least, of the dilemma that we're going to think about this evening. For not only do we see the dilemma of Christ, we see him fully exposed in his earthly humanity. It's easy to picture the scene. Into the mountains, where there's peace, and away from the crowd, I want to pray, but stay awake. Let me feel the spiritual bond as I pray that you're thinking, possibly even praying, but stay awake. Then comes the awesome dilemma. If it's possible, Father, don't let me have to go through this. There must be another way. Open that way for me. The pause. But in the end, not my will, but yours be done. And it's repeated again, and they're still asleep. Why could you not stay awake? I didn't ask very much. Why couldn't you have resisted the sleep and been with me? You're going to fall away from me, and you're going to find it harder even than I'm contemplating it to be. And that will happen. Lord, no matter what the others do, no matter what happens, you can count on me. I will be there. I'll not be your problem. The others might. Peter, before this night's over, you'll deny me 3 times. Jesus the man, Jesus at prayer, Jesus the dilemma of can there be another way? A way that'll take him from the suffering, the agony, and the torment. If there is another way, Father, show it to me, and I'll grasp it. But in the end, not my will, but yours. And they were still asleep. I don't know about you, but every time I read the words that were read for us in our second lesson, portraying that scene in Gethsemane, I feel I'm glimpsing one little bit more of the earthly character of Christ. We're taught that the incarnation was the manhood on earth of the human side of the Son of God. And we're taught that on Calvary and all that it involved, it was the man Christ who suffered. That was the humanity of our Lord. And then, no matter what our dilemma may be in believing what we read, we're caught up at the resurrection, that the man who had been exposed to us, not just in Gethsemane, but throughout his ministry, the manhood of Christ, was swept up in the wonderful spiritual glory of the resurrection. But it was because of the humanity that we saw from Gethsemane and onwards that we can believe the resurrection spoke to our humanity, to our experience, and to our life. But let's unpeel it a little more. There must be very few leaders in the world of politics, religion, society, business, whatever it may be. There must be very few leaders who do not have moments when they pause to say, well, what do they want? What is it they want? And can I find a way in my mind of at least meeting them halfway? That what leadership I offer may be easier for them to accept. And in a very real way, that was part of the dilemma of Gethsemane. For all he wanted was to have the link with them as he prayed the agony of what was to be some of the final moments of his earthly life. All he wanted was the communion of fellow souls who prayed and were together. But they were human beings, and they were exhausted, and they fell asleep. So what did they want of him? The opportunity that they could be purely human and simply doze, or be inspired by something they visualized in the praying Christ on the ground in Gethsemane. What did they want? And then, when they were awake and they got the opportunity to say, we are with you, Lord. Don't be surprised about us falling asleep. Don't be surprised that we broke the bond. Because when it comes to it, we'll be there. Shoulder to shoulder, we will be there. Oh Lord, no matter what they say in reassurance, I will be with you and beside you and will never desert you. Ah, Peter, Peter. Before this night's over, you will deny me three times. But the understanding the understanding and the humanity of that scenario was what really shows us the understanding of Christ the man. For he accepted their sleep. He accepted in advance their assurance that they hoped they could fulfill. But he knew what lay ahead. And beyond the reading tonight, there is that little human episode where she kneels at his feet and breaks the precious ointment because she sensed the love that poured from that man. And the man with the dilemma of what is it they want? What is it they're looking for? What can I give them that will show them the importance of these hours? He was touched by her love and her sacrifice. There are many, many reasons why in the battle of faith nowadays, for all of us, in a human sense, there are many, many reasons why we have our moments of doubt. Doubt can take many forms. It can be based on over-familiarity and acceptance because we've been brought up in the faith. And it's very easy for us to get so used to it that we take it all for granted. And the barometer of faith goes down a bit. Or then there are experiences in everyday life when it's hard to believe that there is a God. How many times have you turned on your television and watched the women and children on the endless trek of being a refugee, and asked yourself, is this the world that Christ died to save? A loved one is suffering from a terminal disease, perhaps at an early age, and there are moments at the bedside when your soul cries out, is there a God? And the moments when you see an injustice, a wrong, and the person involved gets off with it, you sometimes ask, is there justice? The right and the wrong of it, is there a God? And in a sense, the dilemma of Christ, who prayed that if it was possible that the cup of Calvary could be taken from him, was the same dilemma that we're talking about now. And it summed up in the mechanics of that prayer. First, the human pleading. If it's possible, please show me another way. And that's backed up eventually by acceptance of God's will. In my ministry over the years, and I'm sure my colleagues present tonight would tend to agree with me, in pastoral ministry, there were often common denominators. And in my experience, the one that occurred over and over and over again was the problem of prayer. And among that, problem was the question, why was my prayer not answered? Why was my prayer not heard? And as I think back over the years of pastoral ministry, concern with people, that occurred over and over again. And I brought back again to Gethsemane. Please, God, my prayer, my Father, my call, show me another way. And as the human experience equates with that, we pray with a request. We pray in some way, but the awful sense is nobody is listening. The second part of our Lord's Prayer, but not my will, but yours be done, and I will accept that. And the meaning, as I see it, is there's no such thing as the unheard or unanswered prayer. It doesn't exist. But what there is the answer we find it hard to accept. Not my will, but your will be done. The dilemma wasn't just what do they want. The dilemma was accepting the will of his Father. And as he did, it all began to make sense. For Calvary was inevitable, but the strength from Gethsemane would take him there. The unanswered prayer? No. The answer in faith we must learn to accept. Let us pray. Most merciful Father, whose arms of understanding, forgiveness, and strength reach out to us in faith, grant us the eyes to see your will, the ears to hear your voice, and the understanding of your purpose for us. Grant to us the acceptance of your will and the hearts and the lives with which to respond. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
faith using a language from Peter's epistle. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted himself to God, who judges justly. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls.
Please kneel or sit as your custom is to pray. Let us pray. Let us pray to the Father through his Son, who suffered on the cross for the world's redemption. Fill with your Spirit Christ's broken body, the Church. We pray for the Church, both local and universal, that its doors may be open to welcome all. As we give thanks for the privilege of being called to serve you, O Lord, may you give to us, through the ministry of the Church, the strength to serve you faithfully and conscientiously, particularly in those moments of doubt and despair, in those moments of dilemma. Not my will, but thine be done. May those words of Christ reach out to each and every one of us to give strength for the ongoing journey. Give to Christian people everywhere a deep longing to take up the cross and to understand its mysterious glory by the Saviour's cross and passion.
Lord, save us and help us.
Bless those who lead the Church's worship at this solemn time, in particular in this, our local community, reflecting on the ministry in Knock Methodist Church and here in St. Columba's and in this local community. We give thanks for the ministry of Archbishop Robin Eames here night by night as we make our way to the foot of the cross on Good Friday. We pray for the importance of pastoral ministry and the uniqueness of each individual, that each person may give of their best, that they may share in the worship, and through the worship may go forward enriched and encouraged in the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments. Draw your people close to you by the Saviour's cross and passion.
Lord, save us and help us.
Strengthen those who are preparing for baptism, together with their teachers, sponsors and families, that they may be faithful to the vows and promises that they will make on the occasion of the baptism, that they may grow strong in their membership of the Church and reach out to share love of you, O Lord, in all that they are about. Teach them what it means to die and rise with Christ, and prepare them to receive the breath of his Spirit by the Saviour's cross and passion.
Lord, Lord, save us and help us.
Look in your mercy on the world you love so much, that you sent your Son to suffer and to die. As we receive the love of Christ, as expressed in this Holy Week, as we make our way to the cross, may we in turn share that love one with another. As we receive the forgiveness of Christ, may we offer in love that forgiveness to one another. Strengthen those who work to share the reconciliation won at such cost upon the cross by the Saviour's cross and passion.
Lord, save us and help us.
Bring healing by the wounds of Christ to all who are weighed down by pain and injustice. May they not feel abandoned in their particular circumstance and situation. May they not feel on their own, as if their prayers are not being heard. May you, O Lord, give to them the strength and the love required in their circumstance, and may we be mindful of their needs to share the love of Christ with them in our pastoral ministry as a church. May they know that you, O Lord, are with them today and every day. Help the lonely and the betrayed, the suffering and the dying, to find strength in the companionship of Jesus and in his passion to know their salvation by the Saviour's cross and passion.
Lord, save us and help us.
Welcome us into paradise when we leave this world in your friendship. According to your promises, bring us with all your saints to share in all the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. By the Saviour's cross and passion,
Lord, save us and help us.
Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you.
May the peace of God, which passes all earthly understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.